5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus! Afro
Welcome to The Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a mom
and dad
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are four kids. So do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. We are your hosts, Crystal and...
Oh, that's for me? I thought you were going to introduce me. I didn't see the little hand movement there. And I'm Barry!
I thought you were going for it, so...
Oh, sorry. I apologize.
So, welcome.
Yeah. So, hi. How's it going?
I'm sick.
Sick.
Miserable.
She's a sicky face.
I hope I don't cough a lot during this episode.
But she is recording because she loves you.
Yes. Exactly.
Exactly. So, appreciate it. But, so we had a lot of things happen this week. So, should we talk about that?
Let's talk about our crazy circus.
It's time for the stories of the week.
So, I was gone most of the week.
Like always.
like always.
Feels like it.
More than normal. I mean, of course, I'm gone at work every day, but I was on a business trip from Monday till Thursday afternoon, lunchtime. So, 3.5 day-ish days. So, Crystal was all by her lonesome with... all the kids for 3 days.
Maybe that's why I'm sick.
Maybe.
Just stress build
up. Stress up. The stress broke down your immune system, and then the kids brought home something for you.
Sure, why not?
Let's go with that.
Okay.
But while I was on my trip, I really enjoy having... we try, depending on the situation at home, of course, we try to have the kids give me a call before bedtime. And it's always fun because... I answer, I'm like, hello, and they're like, hi, daddy, and it's like, melts my little heart, and then, of course, they proceed to tell me about their day, and, usually the conversations are only like, it was only like, what, 5-10 minutes each time, but it's super nice, and I love that.
I love how on your side, it's all sweet and happy. On my side, I hate it when they call you. When they call you, because it's like,
you have the
sit down, stop jumping on the bed. Talk to your father.
Will you stop touching me?
It really is. Like trying to get all four of them to sit and listen to you for 5 seconds. It's so frustrating.
Well, I apologize.
And then, you just got a new phone that's not an iPhone. So we can't FaceTime anymore.
FaceTime, but we could Skype if you just download the app.
Well, but we figured it didn't work. And so when our kids found out we couldn't FaceTime,
their attention went out the window.
Frustrating. So. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
But speaking of while you're gone, so we've mentioned before that we took a parenting class, but now we're taking a marriage class.
Yes.
And in our marriage class, we just had a lesson about anger.
Anger.
Is it just called anger? Like anger management.
Controlling anger.
Yeah. And so they talked a lot about how when you get angry, you need to start noticing what your physical,
like, what do you do physically when you get angry? Like, do you
grit your teeth or
like tense
up, clench up? Yeah. And so while you were gone, that lesson was still fresh in my mind. And I have a tendency to just turn into monster mom every night. Like
Hulk out.
I don't know what it is. There's a certain point where it's like I'm just done, and that's why Barry always puts the kids to bed because I just can't handle it. So when he's gone, that's the worst part. So I'm trying to put our 4-year-old in bed, and she's throwing this huge fit. And all of a sudden, it's like I just noticed that my neck was getting really tight. Like I was tensing my neck. And I realized, like, uh-oh, I can feel the anger coming on because we just talked about it. And so I just stopped for a second, and I changed the way that I was talking to her. Like, I've noticed a lot with her, we have to redirect instead of, like, threaten.
Yes.
Instead of saying, like, if you don't do this, you're going to get your animals taken away. But if you redirect it, she always goes for it. So instead of getting angry, I redirected and got it all done. And I did that a couple times this week where I could feel my neck tensing. And I never realized that that was like an anger precursor.
Yeah.
And so it's nice. I've mentioned this before, but sometimes it feels like I just can't help getting angry. I just can't help it when I yell. But this time I was like, you know what? I can't help it. I can't even feel it coming on. Like my body's telling me it's about to happen. So I just chose not to act on it. And that was hard for me, but it turned out really good.
Good. I'm glad.
Until I got sick, then it was all out the window.
Yeah, well, but luckily I was here when you're sick, though.
I was trying to think of an analogy earlier of what being a sick mom is like. And it's like not having use of your legs and you get thrown into an animal cage at the zoo. Because you're stuck there, you can't do anything, you feel helpless, and all of the animals are climbing all over you and hurting you and biting you and...
It's kind of like
they won't stop touching you.
It's kind of like what Jim Gaffigan says about having a fourth kid.
Yes.
Imagine you're
drowning,
and someone hands you a baby.
Yes, that's how it feels like. So I'm like a paralytic in the zoo cage, like in a monkey cage.
There you go. The monkeys are beating you with their bananas.
I just feel so crummy. I don't want to move, but they're just all on me. And like today, I kind of fell asleep on the couch while you're reading Harry Potter.
Yes, you did.
And I'm going to say kind of, because I kept waking up. But all of a sudden, I'm awoken by someone's noggin getting smashed into my nose. And it hurt so bad that I started crying. You didn't see that, but dang, that hurt. Like a monkey striking me with a very hard banana.
I was busy making dinner.
God, it made me so mad.
Sorry, babe.
So mad. I hate being sick.
Yeah.
I would much rather have sick children than be a sick mom.
But speaking of Harry Potter, we're still reading that.
We are. We're doing a good job.
So we weren't able to read it while I was gone on my trip because I'm the designated reader of the book.
Next time I'm the reader. And you can deal with the two littles that don't care to listen.
Okay. If that's what you want to do.
Anyway, keep going.
But no, it's great. The two older kids are still really loving it, and they're super excited to finish the book because we told the kids that if we finished the book and they weren't too scared about what happened to the book, then we could watch the movie on Halloween. So,
yeah, so we'll see.
We'll see how that works.
But I feel like I had something to say about Harry Potter. Anyway.
It's good?
Oh, right. I was going to say... Initially, you had this grand vision to read Harry Potter over the phone.
Oh, yes.
I'm glad we didn't even try, because our phone calls never lasted more than, 5 seconds.
Yeah, so...
Like 5 minutes at the max.
So it's, that's probably for the best that we didn't try it, yes. But, yeah. Anything else happen this week?
Oh, I don't know. You're kind of taking control of this
one. Well, I talked about... I mean, there's one other thing that we did this week... That was kind of fun. We were supposed to have, with our church, we were supposed to have a daddy-daughter camp out. But due to some unforeseen circumstances and also a little cold weather, we determined that it would be better not to go. And so, but the girls were super excited to do it. And so what we did is we compromised and said, okay, let's have a camp out in our living room. So we got, Crystal rented a video game. We laid out the sleeping bags. We went and bought s'more fixings and made s'mores in our fireplace and played video games and let the kids stay up super late and watch shows. And
never a good idea.
we paid the price the next day, but
it wasn't too bad.
It wasn't too bad and it was super fun. It was fun to have a little camp out. And, while the kids stayed up late, watched the show, and fell asleep, we were able to escape to our room and sleep on our beds rather than on the floor in a sleeping bag. So
yeah, usually we'd stay on the floor, but
nah,
we
I was
wanted
like,
to watch our show.
I was like, nah, I want to go back to my bed. So
yeah, that was nice. That was fun.
It was fun. We should do that more often.
We should. We should make that like a monthly family night.
That's right. Family night, camp out in the living room.
Speaking of other fun things this week, I finally gave in and our kids are now riding the bus home.
Yay!
I've been fighting this forever because I feel like I'm a stay-at-home mom. I really don't have an excuse. Like, I feel guilty saying I don't want to pick you up because I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like, that's sad. I should be there for my children, but...
Yeah, but you have two little children that you're constantly wrestling. If it would be different if you were just picking up the two older kids and nothing else.
Oh, so... excuse me. So I don't know. I've been fighting it forever because I had so much guilt. Like, I feel like I deserve to be there. I mean, they deserve me to be there. I don't deserve to be there, but they deserve to have their mother there. But it was just too much. And I realized almost every bad part of my day every day was the pickup.
Yes.
And then I come home so burnt out that I was like, yeah, just watch TV. I don't even care.
Yeah.
You know, so I put them on the bus. They've ridden it twice this week. And the first day was the day Barry got home. So I picked him up at the airport at like 12:30. Yeah. Then we went home and our two little kids were sleeping and playing. And so we were like, you know what? We're kind of alone. Let's watch one of our shows during the day, which never happens. Excuse me. So we watched our show and 2:15 rolls around where I have to frantically find everyone's shoes and throw them in the car and go get them. And we just kept watching our show.
That's right. We didn't even have to worry about it.
Until our kids walked into our house and I was like, this is amazing. So I was wrong. I should have done it at the beginning of the year, but I thought I was trying to be a good mom.
That's what I was saying.
So there we go. Good. I'm happy. I'm happy. Thank you all my friends who pushed me to do this.
So you're saying it was pure pressure then?
Yes. And my mom.
Broke down and gave in to peer pressure.
Now, the one experience I did have this week that was a little frustrating while you're gone, or I don't know how to explain it, but so my daughter comes into my room late at night, right, like well past bedtime, and said, like waving a paper, and she said, I forgot to do my homework. She had two sheets of homework. I forgot to do this part of my homework. And she had to go through and read all the words. And she's in kindergarten, so they're little words. And then she had to come up with a sentence, just vocally to me, about each word. And then I had to sign the paper. So she's going through all the words, but then she hits an, like A-N.
A-N.
And she didn't know what it was. So she thought it was like and.
But she's in kindergarten. And it's like trying to describe how to use an in a sentence to kindergartner.
It can only go before a vowel. Which they haven't really learned what a vowel is.
They're still learning about that.
And so I was trying to give her examples, and because she kept saying, like, the dog and the cat are friends. And I'm like, no, that's and. And she's like, yeah, I know. And I'm like, this is an. And so finally I was like, an eagle can fly. An elephant is gray. And she just couldn't come up with one on her own. So I said, okay, Jay, I'm going to have to sign this paper, but let your teacher know that you were having trouble with Anne, just so she knows. And she was like, no, don't do that, because she wants her teacher to think she
wants
a good job.
She wants to be the perfect student.
Yeah, and so I was like, you know what? If you can think of a sentence, then I will erase this and we'll call it good. But if you can't, I think your teacher needs to know that you don't understand how to use Anne. And she's like, okay. So I put her back in bed. And she puts her paper in the backpack, and then like half an hour later, she comes into my room and she's like, I've been thinking about it and I came up with a sentence. An elephant is gray.
Be like, you didn't come with that.
I know. I came up with that. Word for word. And I was like, Jay, that's the one I used on you. And she just face planted on the bed and started bawling, like so upset. And so I was like, Jay, you're okay. And then so the next morning, we're at breakfast, and she goes, an elephant is in the circus. And I was like, whatever, I'll erase it. You're good. As long as you remember the elephant for school, you're good. So I ended up erasing it. I don't know if I should have, but I was like, that poor girl's trying so hard. And she doesn't really know what it is anyway, so yeah. I let it slide. But it's just funny to see how upset she was getting that she couldn't say and in a sentence.
She's going to be one of those high school students that just freaks out when she gets an A minus.
Oh, I know. But it's hard. And it's a hard one to use in a sentence. It took me a while.
Yeah.
So I challenge you right now. Try to come up with one on the top of your head, off the top of your head. It's harder than you think.
An awesome guy named Barry.
That's not even a sentence.
Oh, it is.
Is it?
Yep.
An awesome guy named Barry doesn't know how to do a sentence.
Oh, yes, I do.
Anyway, that's about it.
That's it?
What is it?
That's it. Well, let's...
It's kind of a chill week.
Yeah, kind of. Well, let's go to our other part of the show where we talk about something, advice, or an article, and where we let people know. So,
okay, wait.
Oh.
I have the segue for this
segway.
One, and I'm taking it. Taken. So, another story is... we had mentioned a few weeks ago that our son's really gotten into this online game called Animal Jam.
Oh, yes.
And so he's been loving it. For a while there, every day he'd come home and be like, can I play Animal Jam? Which was nice because I'd be like, yeah, do your homework and pick up the living room. And he'd do it because he was excited. And so the other day we're eating breakfast and he said, he said that he... Because I guess in the game, you, like, create parties, and you can invite people to come to them. And so he had invited some friends, some strangers on the internet, which I'm still not a fan of, but that's a discussion for another time. Anyway, he invited some friends to his party, and one of the kids at the party told him, this party sucks. And he told me that, and he did not understand why...
He said that.
Why the kid was mean to him, because he'd worked so hard, just starting to make this party, and he felt so sad that he even got little tears in his eyes, and he was just so confused, like, why was he mean to me?
Like, he's 8 years old, and he's already been experienced, he's experienced internet trolling already.
Yeah, kind of online bullying. Not real bullying, but mean, online meanness.
Yeah.
But as I thought about it, I was so grateful that he told me, because... Kids always get to that point where they don't want their parents to know.
Yeah.
It's like every online bullying story you hear, the kids never told their parents what was going
on. Like the parents are always in the dark and they're like, I didn't even realize.
Yeah. And so I was like, I'm so grateful that he talked to us. And I also, my friend had an experience where her son told the dad something very personal. And I was like, yeah, that's so awesome that he's talking to you. So my objective for the night was to see how we can encourage our kids to talk to us because it's so important.
Yes.
So
to have that good relationship, a good, healthy communicating relationship.
Yes. So now you can start.
Oh, so we found an article or I should say Crystal found an article.
We found it together.
On ahaparenting.com. And it's called Foolproof Strategies for Getting Kids to Talk.
All right.
And it's 10 tips to get the kids to talk. So we'll kind of abbreviate on each of the tips. So how can you get kids to open up and talk with you? Most kids talk nonstop when they're in preschool. In elementary school, many of them begin to clam up with their parents. But there are strategies to get your kids to talk to you. And the more they get used to it, the more natural it will become.
Yep.
So number one.
Number one is.
Notice the little conversation openers. So this is just kind of giving you the opportunity where it's like when a kid brings up something, you're supposed to drop everything and respond. And they said that, you know, how often do we actually just stop and listen to our kids? And they're giving us that opening to talk to them. When they say this and this and this, are we stopping to listen to their question or listen to them? And then realize that that's an opener, a conversation opener to continue on to bigger things.
Yeah. Well, they said like, even if it's at 1 a.m. and if you're, well, there, some of these examples are about teenagers, but if it's 1 a.m. and her boyfriend just broke up with her, it doesn't matter what time it is. You talk to her. Because they're basically, if you don't grasp at those little moments where they actually want to talk to you, then they're not going to talk to you ever.
Yeah. Show when they want to open up, be there for them when they open up. So that way they will be more comfortable the next time that they open up. So. Our oldest child just slipped a piece of paper through our door. And
look, it's a picture of Harry Potter. It has an owl carrying a letter.
Oh, he's playing
and they're
Quidditch.
Playing Quidditch.
He's playing Quidditch.
He's catching the snitch.
And that's the troll.
Oh, how cute. Oh, that's adorable.
And the owl carrying the letter.
Are those dead people?
Yes, they are.
How sweet. With a flower.
With a flower. So.
Sorry. That's adorable.
Tangent, but that's okay. So, yeah, number one, notice the little conversation openers.
Which is hard. Yeah. Number two, ask non-judgmental questions that require real answers. This one I thought was interesting because,
well, it's like, don't ask why. Don't say, why did you do that? Or why are you wearing that? You know, because when you use the word why, even with adults or anyone, this is just a good this is just good communication skills for everybody. People get defensive, and especially your children or teenage children.
You totally took my number two.
I'm sorry.
That's not even well, where you, I was going with
you,
that.
You paused.
I wasn't going with
you paused.
That. I was going to say this one's hard because it talks about you don't get anything out of your kids with the question, how was school today? And I am glad I'm reading that now when my kids are still young because it drives me crazy.
When we say, how was school? Like, it's good.
Like, my daughter started kindergarten a little later than most kids. And I thought she would be like this spew of words. Like, every day I'd pick her up and she'd have so much to tell me. And I'll say, how was your day today? And she's like, I don't know. Good.
What'd you learn? Nothing.
I know, and I was so disappointed. So they say, ask questions that are a little more specific. Like, what was the best thing about school today? Do the kids ever talk about, well, I'm not asking this question, but do the kids ever talk about boyfriends and girlfriends? That once again for older kids, but who did you sit with at lunch today? Or how did the soccer game go at recess? Those all get you a lot further than, how was school today?
So be a little bit more specific in your questions.
Yeah, and then they mentioned the why. Don't ask why.
Don't ask why.
So, like Barry mentioned, instead of saying, why did you wear that? Then you ask something like, well, what do you think most of the kids will be wearing on the field trip? So, it's so hard.
Tank top and booty shorts.
I feel like you have to, like, prepare what you're going to ask your kids before you even see them.
So, but number three. Don't jump in with solutions and advice. This is something I could work on. Or every husband out there, pretty much. So basically, it's just like what it says. When your child is opening up to you, a lot of times they just want you to focus on them. Because especially like in a teenager's mind, or even a young preteen, like their world is the most important thing ever. And what they are having troubles with or is the most important thing ever. And so you need to just listen to them and let them spew it out instead of just jumping in there and being like, okay, what you need to do is you need to do this and the dip, 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 and try to fix everything.
Okay, so let's role play a little bit.
Oh.
So how could we have applied this to when Grayson said, someone's being mean to me on my game? Because immediately I wanted to be like, well, that kid's a jerk. Just don't talk to him. But how could we?
Well, I mean, I guess it's just like, well, how did that make you feel? Or how do you think you can, approach the situation next time?
Right.
So basically ask them open-ended questions so that they figure out a solution rather than you giving them the solution.
Yeah. And they said your child needs a chance to vent and they can't hear advice until they're done.
Yeah.
So that's always hard because you want to cut them off and just be like, well.
Well, I'm an adult and I'm smart. So here's what you need to do. Yeah,
exactly. But that is hard. And that applies to
adults too.
Spouses.
Yes. So. Yeah, so number three, don't jump in with solutions and advice.
Well, and he also said, or the author, I guess we didn't say who the author was, but they said if you can help them when they're talking to you, you reflect their feelings. Like, you parrot back what they're saying. Like for instance, if Grayson said, someone's being mean to me on the internet, I would say back to them, you feel like someone's being mean to you on the internet. Because that way, it proves that you're listening and then... You help them brainstorm solutions instead of giving it to them. So that's hard. That's hard for anybody, I think, when it's your own children.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to elaborate on the parroting.
Oh, okay.
Because we learned about it in our classes that we've been taking.
Well, I was already done with it, and you just decided to open it up some more.
Like you've never done that
before. Never. I don't give advice or solutions.
Anyway, number four, make sure you connect with each of your children every single day. This one's hard too. They're all hard at some point. But this one's talking about how you need to have a little alone time with each of your kids every day. So being on hand when they come home, you want to hear their highlights, or you just want to get in their space and in sync with their energy level works. So you can talk, like they say, with your toddlers, you can call it floor time. With 9-year-olds, you might snuggle on the couch while you chat about anything from their day at school to the what you're going to do in the weekend to a TV show you just watched. With teenagers, you might be able to develop a ritual like sharing a cup of tea every night before bed while the two of you catch up.
Tea time.
Don't expect your son or daughter to invite closeness or volunteer vulnerable emotions at each interaction or when you expect it. But if you set up enough regular opportunities to be together, it will happen. That's hard.
Yeah, well, prioritize your time, correct?
It is, but especially for us where we have four kids, I feel like they're always around me constantly. So trying to, like, specifically target one kid at a time to get some alone time, like real alone time,
yeah,
that feels a little overwhelming.
Well, and the thing is, it doesn't need to be like, you need to spend an hour or two with this person. No, like, spending alone time, like, 15 minutes or something like that.
Whoa. That's asking a lot.
I know. So.
We'll start with five.
Five. Okay. 5 minutes. But, so number five, speaking of five, build special time with each child into your routine. So this is kind of like taking, you know, daddy-daughter dates or, you know, dates with each of your kids, or taking them out to go do ice cream or something like that. Or maybe it's just, you know, catching up with your teenagers as you take them to, you know, soccer or football practice or something like that. You know, you have that time where it's just the two of you, and that allows you to talk more and, you know, get to know each other a little bit better, so to speak. So.
Yeah, but in movies, isn't that when it's always portrayed so awkward? Like, the desperate parent takes their kid out for ice cream or something, and the kid's just, like, listening to their headphones, or it's always, like, shown as a bad thing.
Yeah, but they always do it in a bad situation and bad timing, I think.
I guess that's true.
And this is making build special time.
If it was expected.
So it's just like, hey, you know, I would like to take you out to lunch, you know, instead of eating lunch at school one day. You know, I'd like to take you out to lunch and so we can hang out. And so if they're expecting it, then it's not just like, hey, let's go get some ice cream.
Yeah.
La-di-da-di-da. But what kid's going to turn down ice cream anyway?
Don't you remember being a teenager?
Yeah, and I never turned down ice cream.
Number six is, if you don't get the response you want to your overtures towards your kids, step back and watch how you initiate. So basically, this one's saying, you know what? Your kids are starting to get to that point where they only care about themselves,
yep.
Which is kind of a good sign if they don't. They said parents can be dismally low on a child's list, but that's a good sign because they can take us for granted because they know that we're there for them, which that just makes me mad. But I know it's going to happen because it's happened from the beginning of time.
Yes.
But I don't want it to. I love my babies. But basically this one's saying that if you are trying to talk with your child and it's not working, then try something else. Because they're saying, if you're telling your kid, you never talk to me these days, that's not going to work. So you should try something like, I was hoping we could go out for brunch one day this weekend for some special mom and daughter time. And hopefully that will open some doors.
Yes.
So change your tactics if they're not working.
Yes. Number seven, if you make an overture and are greeted with some hurtful disdain, sarcasm, or blankness, try not to respond with anger. So basically, if your teenager or child gets really snarky with you or has a bad attitude and says, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, Dad, because you're lame and old or something like that, you know, you don't respond in anger or sarcasm and be like, well, you're young and you have no blah, blah, blah. So
you've been doing that a lot tonight.
Well, I can't think of things right now. But basically, don't.
That's because our kids don't think we're lame.
That's right, because we're so cool. But no, so don't be angry. Or if you do get angry, don't respond in anger and go take a break. And then come back. But they said,
I like that one.
Yeah, they say if your child like insults you or is rude to you, they say a good thing to do is just say, ouch, and walk away. And
turn away.
Like, don't do anything else. Just be like, and mean it when you say ouch, like, ow, that was hurtful to me. And you turn away and don't lash out, just walk away. And your child is going to respond to that and be like, oh, wow, they didn't get angry at me or yell at me.
I feel like a jerk.
I feel like a big, mean person right now. And then later on, you approach them, with kindness, and then they say that they'll open up to you and apologize.
Yeah, your child will probably apologize.
And if they don't,
I want to remember that tactic.
Well, and it says if they don't apologize even after they are mean to you, then that says then you need some repair work done on your relationship, and you might need to go into a little bit more heart to heart on where your relationship is.
But yeah, even so, if my kid ever like rolls their eyes at me, I'm gonna have a hard time just being like, ouch.
Well, and I'm a very
to punch you.
Yeah, I'm a person that's just like, oh no, you didn't. I'll smack those eyes right out of your head.
Or you're not really like, we don't really hit our children. But it's like,
I'm saying thoughts. Those are thoughts.
I know. Or just like, I guess I imagine I would be the kind of person that'd be like, well, you know what? Your attitude's no picnic either.
Yeah.
You have a problem with me, I have a problem with you.
So don't respond like that. Just say, ouch.
Maybe throw in some tears.
And walk away. Drop the mic and walk away.
Right.
All right. Number 8. That's you.
Okay. Number 8 is stay available.
Dun, period. Dun, dun.
Well, and this one is that your kids need to know that you're there for them, even if you seem busy. So they said, if you're going to be cooking in the kitchen, then say, I need to make dinner, but I'll be in there if anyone wants me. Or let your kids know that your phone's on you. Like, if you have to run to the store, say, hey, I'm going to the store, but I have my cell phone if you need me. That way they always have that connection that you are there for them.
Always there for them.
So I could be better about that.
Yeah.
We were talking about this before the show, that I hate it when my kids are talking to me and I'm like right in the middle of texting someone. And so I stop texting him, but then the story just keeps going and going and going. And then all of a sudden I start texting my friend again, like while they're still talking, but I was thinking, oh, I need to finish that. And then I realized that my kids probably see me all the time not listening. And so I'm not very good at staying available or dropping everything to listen to them. I can work on that.
It's something that we could all work on. And even in your personal relationships with your spouses or significant others. So, but yeah. Number 9, use indirect communication. So basically this talks about how it's okay if you're talking in the car, on a walk, or if you're doing an activity.
Well, they said those are usually more likely to get us to talk.
Well, and that because you have limited eye contact in those situations. Like if you're driving, you're not going to be staring at your kid the whole time while you're talking. And when you don't have someone staring at you, you're a little bit more willing to open up about certain things because you don't feel like someone's judging you or
pressuring you to talk.
Yeah. And they said, but they also said, well, just keep it. And they said, oftentimes, be around when your kids are with their friends, because even if you're driving them in the car where you don't have to say anything, but you'd be amazed what you can learn from just hearing the conversation of your friend, your child and their friends.
Basically spy and eavesdrop.
Spy. So use indirect communication and kids will open up a little bit more when they don't feel like they're pressured to tell you something.
I meant to mention this earlier with one of them.
Whoa, we're going way back there.
Well, anyway, but it made me think of, I have this friend who has all teenage children, and once I saw her reading a book that I was really surprised because it didn't seem like her cup of tea. It was like the cover had like this kid with a bow and arrow like shooting some kind of fantasy thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I was like, wow, what are you reading? And I can't remember what it was, but she said, yeah, it's pretty interesting. And she said, I'm only reading it because my son really likes it, and it's going to give me something to talk about with him. And I was like, that is a good mom.
Yeah, that was really cool because are you willing to read a book that you maybe not like because you know it will give you that conversation opener?
Yes, right.
For your kids.
So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, so.
I mean, there's all kinds of ways to get your child to talk to you.
Well, and that's another thing that gets kids to talk to you is when you show genuine interest in their interests.
Yeah.
When you're just like, hey, did you hear about this and this? Wasn't that cool? And then your kids are like, what? Really? Yeah, that was cool. You know, so show interest in their interests.
Well, that's funny because if you read that super famous book, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
By Carnegie. That's the whole concept, is that people want to talk about themselves. So if you want to win friends and influence people, you always direct the conversation to their interests.
Yes.
So it applies to parenting.
Applies to parenting. There you
applies
go.
Applies to marriage, to friendships.
So read that book. Maybe you'll be a better parent, right?
It's a good book.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And last
one is listen.
Listen.
Pretty self-explanatory, but it is the single most important part of helping our kids open up. If they don't keep talking, you can ask another question, but keep your tone companionable, not interrogatory.
So, in our marriage class that we've been taking, one of our instructors always says, you know, God blessed you with one mouth and two ears, so that means you should do twice as much listening than you do talking.
Yeah, I like that.
So, and that can apply to your kids. So show them that you're listening rather than not, you know, talking to them.
And trust us, we're preaching to the choir.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So,
so.
But yeah, so there you go. Top those 10 and how to have better conversations with your kids.
Yeah, and let us know if you try any of these tactics this week. We would love to hear about it.
Or if there's something that we didn't say that has worked for you, then we'd like to hear about that too.
Right. There you go.
So that's it for the clown car. Thank you for listening. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Clown Car, and email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and
review
our show on iTunes. And until next time, enjoy your circus. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.